Being a teenager can be hard. On some days, you're confused. On other days, you're trying not to get drowned in your own realities. On Diary of Teen Podcast, we discuss different realities of different teenagers through different seasons of life. It helps them feel heard, and it also allows others to see the world through their lens. Welcome to the Diary of Teen Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here again after a very, very, very long break. I don't know when you'll be listening to this, either late 2024 or early 2025, but whatever the case is, compliments of the season, happy new year to my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful listeners, and it's really good to be back here on Diary of Teens podcast. But for this episode, it's a quite special episode because we don't have a teenager as our guest this time around. We have a teen counselor as our guest. And so we are going to be learning. We are going to be, you know, getting to know what it was like, right, for him being a teenager to hear from him what his experiences was like as a teenager, things that shaped and changed him, and also related into what it is like to be a teenager in this day and age. So sit tight, relax, get your earphones plugged in for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ride that we are going to be having. So in a bit, the next voice you're going to be hearing is that of our counselor and our wonderful guest, Honey, here on Diary of Teen Podcast. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with me Uncle Seyi Atilola. Woo! Hello, Uncle Seyi.
I'm great to be here. Good day. I don't think I have the energy to match this up, but I'm trying. I'm giving my best shot. And okay. I would say it's a great privilege to be here, like an honest privilege, an opportunity to be here. And trust me, I won't take it for granted.
Yeah. You're welcome, Uncle Seyi. Well,
thank you
so much. Let's get to meet you. Who is Uncle Seyi?
Okay. Very simple, man. Okay, my name is Oluseyi Atilola Olabanji. I'm from Oyo State.
All right.
I'm an accountant by profession.
Okay.
Lover of Christ above all.
Interesting.
Okay, what else? Yeah, that's the least I would say for now. I don't know.
Okay, so how long have you been involved with teenagers? How long have you actively been counseling teenagers?
No, I wouldn't say I wanted to say all my life, and I said no. Okay, so I grew up in a Baptist church.
Okay.
I grew up in a Baptist church, and even while as a teen, like, I had no choice. I was a Sunday school teacher.
Okay.
Like, apart from being a Sunday school teacher, I had to call it Sunbeam in the Baptist church. So okay. I taught the Sunbeam because, like, I was more like the oldest. It was a small church, so like I was more like the oldest. So by default, I had to teach. So that was like my very first experience. Then getting to the university, also I went to a Baptist university also.
Okay.
So yeah, I went to Bowen University. So getting there also, I grew up seeing my dad being a Sunday school teacher. So like it was something like I tailored myself towards that. Okay, irrespective of anything, I would always be a Sunday school teacher. So even in the university as an 100 level student, I was teaching Sunday school.
Oh.
I was teaching discipleship, which is more like our normal. I was taking discipleship. I was a devotional leader and everything. So like I found myself like this is just me. This is just my life. I had my fears also that maybe am I really doing this well, am I? But over time, like, I knew this what this mean. Like, every other thing I would do apart from this might not be. This is the definition of who I am. I really want to express myself. I really want people to come to the knowledge of Christ as much as possible.
Hmm. Interesting. That's really good to know. I mean, as much as our listeners are getting to meet you for the first time, I am getting to meet you for the first time on this level. And I like it. And it's really interesting to know that, you know, you were brought up in that line, and there's a way, truthfully, how our parents' lifestyle shapes or sort of creates a dream or an idea of life for us, and I think that has done you real good. But how, if you could express what your teen years were like, if you could talk about what your teenage years were like, what would you say was like for you?
Like, it was beautiful, but it had a whole lot of fear factor, to be honest.
Okay.
Like I said initially, I'm the last child.
Correct.
Of a family of four. Like, the age difference, like, I am the first one, is about 10 years, the second 8, then my only sister is 5 years. So, like, practically, I grew up being the last child. Like, as a time I was entering secondary school, all of my siblings were off home already. So, I had no choice. Like, I practically grew up with my mom. So, like, I'm a mommy's boy, like an extreme mommy's boy. So more or less that like dictated the whole lot thing of things about me and every other thing. Okay, now to the fear factor that I spoke about. Okay, so my dad was civil servant, worked with the NYC, and because of that, he wasn't at home for like the 36 years of his life. He wasn't really at home. So I had no choice. I grew up with my mom. But at that point of also, I was entering maybe adulthood, teenagehood as a whole. Okay, we had an issue with my second born. So because of that, there was a kind of intense and fearful environment. And my mom would rather plead with me and say, hey, Shay, you can see what is going on. I don't want anything to go wrong with you. I don't want you to do anything wrong. So because of that, like practically, let me use the word, I'm gonna get inside. My mom would travel just because of my brother, because of the old issue. She would travel all day and she would beg me with everything she had. Dude, please just stay at home. Don't go out. Don't go anywhere. And you can be sure I would obey her to that last father. Okay, I won't do anything. I will be home. And as much as possible, my mom is this kind of person. For me to stay at home, it simply means my 3-square meal for the day is ready. So I don't have any cause to go out. And as much as possible, every other thing that I need, I have it in the house. So like practically grew up also because of that also. And I made a promise to my mom too early that, hey mom, I've seen you go through all this. I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm going to give you the best of me. So that also was a good one for me because at least made me focus on other things. Although it exposed me also to some other things. But on that front also, it made me like, oh, okay, yes, I had somebody I'm owing a whole lot to that I want to make proud. I want to do everything that, okay, align with and every other thing. And I must say, it was a good one, but it came with other baggages.
I think we'll get into all of that. I think that was a lot of expectations. A lot of expectations to do right because of what you had seen ahead of you. A lot of expectations to be somebody. Well, I think it turned out easy for you, but then you share with us what the baggage was, understand the struggle. But above all, I think the expectation that was, you know, put on you because of the experience your mom has gone through or was going through with your brother had now put fear in you. So you were living on eggshells, you were walking on eggshells, you know, to live, to grow. And I don't know, as we get into, you know, the conversation, we'll probably get to know how did it affect your curiosity, how did it affect setting parts of yourself that you wanted to express that you couldn't express because you had to be inside. But of all, what were those moments that shaped you, that changed your mindset positively, negatively? What were those moments growing up in your teenage years that really marked you in that sense? Yeah.
Okay. I would say two major points that I can remember vividly. Okay, a big background to the story. Primary school wasn't really the best for me. Like, okay, I schooled in Ondo State, schooled in Akure, to be specific. I had a whole lot of struggles in my primary school. Like, I wasn't really the most intelligent. I wasn't intelligent. Okay, intelligence is even far. Intelligence is far from the open. I could remember even as a primary 3 student, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't spell. Others were like, and to make matters worse, at least I can remember this vividly, like my primary three, like they had to like, okay, they had to separate us in class, that oh, people that could not read that, like, they just sit at the back and everything. So I was in that league. Ooh. I was in that league also. And it was a very big school because, like, for example, a school that you had like 50 students in the class. Ooh. And that's just A. That's like primary 3A, we have primary 3B, we have, like, I don't know if I want to mention the name of my school, but I can. Like, very, for anybody who grew up in Ondo State, for example, you know Victory Northern Primary School, a very big school in Ondo State. And that was, like, the school my brothers, my sister attended. And so, like, it was, so I had my struggles with school. Like, I had my, I wasn't really the brightest. And, okay, there was a more of a self-esteem issue also, because, okay, somebody who wasn't really doing well in school, the other thing you could do was maybe sport and every other thing. But even as at that time, even as a prime 3, prime 4, prime 5 guy, we had people in my class who were exceptional. They could run, they could play football. I, during break, couldn't play football with every other normal person because I was very bad at it. I can't play. So all we had to do was, people were playing football, normal football. We would be playing cantas. Like, we'd be playing cantas as football. Yeah. No, not cantas, like, we'd be playing cantas as football. We'd be playing the cover of bottle as football. Because that's our own, that's just a few of us. Like, our classmates were playing, like, the real football. But we that were special category and every other thing. We had our own side to eat and every other thing. So, majorly, that was my primary school. But thankfully, we had to leave our career. We had to leave Ondo State, which for me was like the turning point. The turning point for me. So we went to a new environment. I went to a school that was not as big as where I was coming from. I had to repeat a class. Although, my mom would always say, I didn't repeat the class because I was coming from Ondo State where we had primary 6, primary 5, primary 6. And as at that time, I was already in primary 5. So on getting to Oyo State, I'm getting to Ibadan. I asked, like, oh, they said, oh, okay, so what class? We said primary 5. I wrote the exam. I failed. I could remember. I'm very tough, rubbish class exam. I failed with ease and everything. They said, dude, this boy can't go. Like, our last class here is primary 5. Oh. We don't have primary 6. And we know where it's coming from. Since it's primary 5, it can't go to primary 6. It has to go back to primary 4. I felt bad. Looked at my mom said, no, you're not repeating classes. Where you're coming from, you still have primary 6. Like, you're here to the end of primary school. And here also, you're still here to the end of... And for me, I would say that was like the turning point. That was like the turning point. It was a better environment. It was less toxic. And all of a sudden, I found things that had always been my strength that wasn't really showing. For a very good example, like current affairs, like that was something I liked, like, and not because of anything, just because of my dad would always listen to news, would always buy newspapers. So at that time, that's like, I knew almost all the governors in Nigeria. You can just point me out anywhere. I raise up my, like, that was like my strength. Funny enough, I couldn't spell those names, but at least, oh, like, I know the pronunciation, like, with ease, like, I can tell you any governors at that time and every other thing. And so basically that was the turning point, and coupled like with like family I'm from, like, knowing God, like, church was like the only thing for my mom, and that was like the only thing. Even if she would take me to church and we end up sleeping in church, like, I must be there. So 5 and 6 was I and my mom. We would go to any church in Nigeria, any church, we would be there. And so basically that made my relationship with God better, even at a very tender age. I didn't really understand a whole lot of things. But I knew, yes, God is key. And seeing a transformation from somebody who could not read, somebody who could not write, like, if I remember well, my last result before leaving on those days, we were 15 in the class. I guess I was maybe 47 or something, thereabouts, if I remember. Then all of a sudden, I found myself being 6th. In the class, although our population were like maybe 20 in class, we're like,
but that's,
oh, really?
That's still better.
So that was like a turnaround, and I feel like, okay, it's like this thing is working. And I started trusting God more, even as I die, that God, if you could help me on this matter, like, if this can work, then every other thing can work. And that's the journey. Then I didn't officially give my life to Christ, like, that, oh, okay, this is like you coming out making that confession until when I was in SS2.
Okay.
No, that's not SS2, that was SS1. SS1 first time. I could remember my teacher, who ended up being my neighbor at some point, like, oh, okay, she just asked me, called a couple of us, like maybe 3 of us if I remember well, that, and that, like, she, have you, like, I'm a church boy. I would always go to church. I know everything about church, but I don't think there's been any time I like answered an order after a call or something. And that was it. Like, I made up my mind, okay, God, I know you, but I'm making this official beyond just knowing you the way, like, I made this official. And for me, that was the turn around point for me. Prior to that, I was living a good life on the average and every other thing. But turn around. Primary school experience from somebody who didn't know anything, like, practically didn't know anything. All of a sudden, I found myself doing well, got to GS1 like beautiful. Like secondary school was like an experience, like a breeze for me, to be honest. Like you can't mention top three students, even top three is too far. You can't mention top two in my school, in my secondary school, even till you get that. You mentioned Atilola and every other thing. And that was the journey. So meeting God should be like the biggest, like knowing God early, like was the biggest advantage of like my teenage journey. Maybe that's it for me.
Okay, so you mentioned that you gave your life to Christ officially in SS1. Give or take, that's like maybe 16?
No, 17? I wasn't 16, that should be 14 thereabout.
Okay, yeah, that was 14. Pretty early. Okay then. Now because I was going to ask, you know, what aside the academic, you know, improvements, what other improvements did you notice in yourself? Between the point where you hadn't given your life to Christ and after you had given your life
to Christ. Prior to that, like I said, like church boy, normal. But like, okay, there was a change in my confidence level, then relationship with God got better because out of curiosity, like I'm still the only one at home in the house. I could just ask God for strength and like, hey God, let there be light. Let them bring the light and every other thing. And like, I saw those things. I saw those things work and every other thing. And there were moments also where I had my personal struggles and I needed clarity about some subject matters. And it was easy for me to ask God even as at that age and ask God, hey, what am I doing with my life? What? I will tell you one very funny thing. Like, this is very funny. Although it's not, I'm not generalizing it. It's not going to work for everybody. Mm-hmm. But it just shows that, okay, knowing this God also comes with so many advantages. I will tell you that as a 14-year-old, I knew where I was going to marry.
14?
Yes. That was SS. Okay, SS1? Maybe. That was SS1 going to SS2. Yeah, I knew where I was going to marry. Very interesting. Very interesting. I had it clear cut. I was in my brother's room, empty room as usual. I and my mom always at home. So, like, more or less, I didn't have a room. So, but the fact that I'm the only one at home, it simply means I'm entitled to everybody's room. Although, anywhere my mom is sleeping, I would have to sleep with her there, like, and everything. So, one of those days, if I remember, I was the only one at home, worked, I just sat there. I was just praying, like, out of curiosity, like, oh, okay, God. That was not the main thing I wanted to ask God, God for, just for normal things. And just came up and said, hey, this so-and-so came clear cut, this is going to be your wife. Like, okay. But this journey is still far. Like, it's still far. Let's see how it works. Like, okay, God, I'm going to hold you to your word. I'm going to trust you. I know this is more or less like, it's making my journey less tedious. It's taking a whole lot of distraction off me. It's making me to concentrate on other things. So I feel, God, settling this is good, though. Like, at least we're taking this away. But it wasn't as smooth as that. But at least I had an information. I had something I could fall back to part time. Like, okay, God, you said this. Are we still on track? And basically, that was the journey. That was the journey.
I like that. It was able. You knew what the end was, so you didn't bother yourself getting distracted about, okay, let me try to date this person and see how it goes, like a lot of people do now. You knew where you were going, and that really helped your journey and gave you ease. I really, really like that part. Okay, so let's talk about the baggage. The challenge, the pitfalls. What was it like as a teenager?
Oh, it's been lovely, like fantastic life and every other thing. Every other thing was working so well until maybe that was university, early days, 100 level, 100 level, 200 level. 100 or 200. But prior to that, I've always been, like I said, when I say Jesus boy, yes, Jesus boy. At few occasions, drinking, the rest, and every other thing. But even at that time, it wasn't like, I wouldn't say like I would always drink and every other thing. No, it wasn't. There were these who do party in schools, and I would come up with ideas for them. Hey guys, oh yeah, I bring wine from my house and every other thing. My parents didn't know, they didn't really have an idea. But that wasn't even a fully blown issue, because as much as possible, like I would say, I was an occasional drinker. I wouldn't drink. So drinking and the rest, sometimes abuse was never a thing for me. But in the line and what I learned with so-called baggage was, okay, I watch TV. I had my dad reads a lot, so he had a book store. So out of curiosity, I would open those books, check the content and everything. And there were some of these books that are not like X-rated, that were actually X-rated. So even at a small age, I read sort of books like that. I read a whole lot of books like that. Normal, like, I can't even remember titles like that, but I read a whole lot of X-rated books at those points. These didn't grow to any point. At those point, they were more like just seeds. They were just dropping. And even in terms of my physical development also, it wasn't really a big deal. Like, it was not really a big deal too. But those things were seeds. They were seeds. They were just like, keep dumping. We are growing, you know, but just keep dumping us. Keep dumping us. So, majorly, in that area, I had a whole lot of seeds. I had a whole lot of seeds that were deposited. That out of the fact being the only one at home, would sit down and watch movies, like, with the title to, like, I'm the only one alone in the house now. It used to be HITV then. From HITV to DSTV, I would watch ETV then. Okay, there was this crazy TV program then. I'm trying to remember. Playboy Mansion.
I'm not sure I know those. No, yeah,
wow. Okay, yeah, please, people should know. They didn't go there and every other thing. But those were the kind of things I watched. But obviously, nobody would know.
Yes. Like,
because on a normal day, my mom said, won't even watch such a program. But out of curiosity, you're the only one at home. You have an access to a TV station. So you just keep checking. You keep checking. You check different things. And those things were not like, I didn't see it as a big deal also. I was just watching out of curiosity. And also, it was also a time for all the Ghanaian movies. Like, yeah, but Ghanaian movies those days were a bit, like, I watched a whole lot. All alone. Not, I wasn't forced. So I had an accumulation of stuff already, like, relating with sexuality on my head and every other thing. Then coupled with, okay, we had few neighbors. I would collect their phone. We have few artisans who were working in the house and that would see pornography on their phone, would see porn on their phone. We just watch and, like, it wasn't really a thing. It wasn't that maybe I had a feeling or something I would want to do. But like those were just seeds. Like I didn't really understand the fact that I was piling it up. It was piling up that okay, there would be a stage in my life also that maybe my physical growth and every other thing would match up with that kind of appetite. And okay. I've had various seed also
that
sown already. So basically that's like the planting stage. So let's now go to the area of where it became a bit fully grown. So at a 100 level, everything was well, was doing so well with my academics in school, like 8 in the room, everything was fine. But towards the end of my 100 level was more like the very first time we're even done with the academic section. We were waiting to go. So at those periods, everybody was free and every other thing. So I had a friend then who they had a laptop. I didn't have a laptop even as a then. So my parents wouldn't even allow. Okay, Ashif, Alpha, Baba, give me your laptop now. Let me see what I can watch or something and every other thing. So was searching through, found out they had pornography on the laptop, blah blah. But it was like the very first time for me that this was me consuming it myself. Like this was an intentional act. This not like
an accident.
It wasn't an accident. This was me. And that was it. Like that was the beginning. Like, oh, so afterwards we went on break. Like it was towards the end of the semester we went on break. So there was a desire to like, oh, okay, maybe is there a way, how can I get more of this? Mm-hmm. And at that time also, like in terms of physical development, adolescent, like there is something different also in my physical composition, yes, and every other thing. And there's this thing that, okay, sin would always take you deeper than you want to go. It will always take you farther than you want to.
I do like that.
That's the truth. And that's the truth. Yeah. So, out of curiosity, I wanted more. How does this thing work? What do I do and every other thing? Yeah, I have the biggest of home, but like, okay, I was still the devotional leader in the house. I was still the one taking every other thing in the morning. But overnight, before I sleep, would just, like, where's the well? Let me just look for this thing online. Let me see. And over time, I found out various pornographic pages. Even as at that time, it wasn't video. They were just pictures.
Mm.
And I didn't really have a laptop or anything to have them. So pictures first. And, like, it created the desire. And it was more like an every night thing. Every other night, I want to go to my phone and every other. It was coming at the expense of one thing, just so it simply means a whole lot of recharge card needed to be used. And thankfully, at that time, my mom was selling recharge card.
Oh,
and she didn't really care. She was just doing it. She was doing it for the fun of it. She was doing it for the fun of it. Even as at that time, she would say, recharge card. But she didn't really care. Like, okay, he's just living his life and every other thing. And that was it. That was like the beginning. I had a phone, I had recharge card, I won't lack recharge card, like almost every night. So it became a pattern. And I didn't really know what I was doing also. I didn't really understand it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was the name for what I'm doing. But I knew like, oh, okay, yes, I was checking online, I was seeing pictures, I was seeing different things and every other thing. And that was it. That was the beginning.
Hold on. And that looks like a really deep end. It looks like a really deep end. So the solitude you had, the aloneness that because you had talked about the good parts of it, right? Those quiet times, those solitude. Also when God had, you know, spoken to you about something.
Yeah.
And it was also the same thing that the devil had pried on to sow certain seeds in your heart.
Yes.
And these seeds didn't even start showing up until later.
Yeah.
And this is just coming to my mind as, it's the same way when we intentionally build ourselves, either spiritually, personal development, the results might not exactly be immediate, but years on, much later, it begins to sprout and you now begin to see evidence of those seeds that have been sown. And it's also telling me that the devil is also not sleeping. Because if it was in that same moment of solitude that you were able to get to know God, build up your faith at such a young
age. Even my academics, I got the strength.
Improve academically, build up your self-confidence. You had those life-changing moments where you transformed from the person who couldn't read or write, now became some sort of scholar, someone who became confident. It was also in that moment that the devil struck.
Yeah.
And even as, and this is, you know, just to speak to the teenagers right now, that, you know, you will have those, you know where you are, you know who you are at the moment, and you just think that everything is fine, I think I'm doing well, but you're not on guard. Even scripture says we should watch and pray. Mm-hmm. You're not on guard. You just feel like, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing well. Oh, I think I can do this if my friends are doing it. I see people doing it around me, so I can do it. And we don't have that filter. We don't have that barrier or boundary to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Because truthfully, maybe I should ask, in those moments where you were reading those X-rated books and things like that, did anything strike your heart to say this was wrong?
Not really, to be honest. But as at that time also, even as a secondary school student, I had friends who watched porn in class.
Interesting.
But it wasn't something for me. I say that, as you guys, you don't have a life. I still had my focus. I wouldn't join you. Yes, I had a phone then that I wouldn't tell you afterwards, we are sending it to me. No. Like there were days we went on excursion that I could remember at the back seat, I had guys watching porn. I'm like, but it wasn't
anything of interest.
Yeah, it wasn't interesting to me. It wasn't something that I feel like, no, like, I was way in my mind. I was way, way above that. Like, I saw people doing it, but it wasn't something I was bothered about. There were days we had parties in school that we would drink and every other thing. And there were days I would say, okay, this Christmas party, no drinking for me. Other people, you can drink. And there are other parties I would say, okay, me, I'll be your supplier. I'll be the one to supply. So there were days like that. But in this particular aspect, I saw people do it. I saw people watch stuff, but it wasn't my thing. Secondary school level, no. Like,
it didn't even occur to you that way. Okay, so back to what I was trying to say. Where sometimes you're doing certain things that are wrong. Your spirit is telling you, but you just feel that, like Okushe, you feel, I'm better than that. I'm not in your league. I'm better than what you guys are. You guys are doing, the self-sufficiency that we seem to have as humans, take heed lest you fall. If you don't have those boundaries, if you don't have people that you are accountable to on those grounds, you will find out that what you had said, God forbid, no, it can never be me, my darling, it is going to be you, and you are going to be dazed. It is going to be you, and you are going to be days. And this is just to wrap this particular point together, speaking to spiritual sensitivity and knowing that others may, but you can't. Others may, but you can't. I like the scripture in Psalm 1 that says that you do not walk in the path of the ungodly, you do not stand in the way of sinners, you do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now from clap.
So it doesn't have to be the biggest of things.
It doesn't have to. It would look okay. It would look harmless. Mm-hmm. But you just continue. You have to keep checking your spirit to say, am I doing the right thing? Is this thing meant for me? And not feel self-sufficient to say, I can overcome this. I'm better than this, right? Alright. Thank you so much for sharing. And maybe you would, come to the point where you would tell us how you got out of that. Yeah, but if we're relating, I think this is a pornography struggle is a struggle that transcends generations.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what generation you are. Every generation has dealt or is dealing with people who are struggling with pornography. But aside pornography, are there, other struggles that you feel teenagers in this time and age are dealing with, and you think these are certain ways they can overcome it?
So over time, this is me personally, I found out that it's actually a battle of souls. John 10:10 says the thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy, to kill. Like that's like the purpose. Of the devil. So majorly every individual, like a thing, you can just be sure you'll be faced with one thing or the other. And I've learned to narrow it down to two major things, to be honest with you. The first one is substance abuse. That's like drug, drinking, substance abuse. That's one. Then the other thing, it has to do with your sexuality. And the sexuality spectrum also has actually increased over time. So I would put it in three ways. Okay, one can be faced with a challenge of, one becoming a sex addict as a result of rape, you enter into prostitution and every other thing. That's one angle. There's another angle of pornography and masturbation, whereby you find yourself, you feel like, oh, I'm not an active player. I'm a Jesus boy and every other thing. I won't go to your brothel. I don't even have a girlfriend and every other thing. But you find yourself struggling with any of these. Then the third one is not the sexual orientation part, where there is a bit of confusion. You could be gay, you could be a lesbian. You find yourself asking, I feel I'm attracted to guys than I am to a lady, as a guy, thinking of. So it's complex. But in all of this, like two major things I said are substance abuse, drinking, smoking, substance abuse. Like in all of these old things, there is a place of knowing God and knowing Him well. Because it helps you to be on guard. It helps you to understand. It helps you to understand things early. It helps you to understand the things to say no to, and not even the biggest of things. Not the biggest of things. This generation, this particular, should I permit to say maybe Gen Z and every other thing, one of the biggest things that would lead people astray the most is actually social media. Because what we consume, we become. As we build, as we build, as we build, as we build, we become. As we build, we become. I can be a proper Jesus lover. I can be a proper guy. But if as long as I spend all of majority of my time, I spend it scrolling online, I'm watching Instagram, I have an active Snapchat account, I have an active Twitter account. Yes, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying you should not. There are content that are good and every other thing. But the truth about it is that you have no control about things flying around. You have no control over it.
Yes.
So you have no, like, this thing is more of like a blessing and a curse, like both working simultaneously.
It's
so there is a level of intentionality that you have to say, like, the Bible puts it this way, that if you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh. If you sow to the spirit, you reap from the spirit. It's just as simple as that.
Mm.
Until we're able to get to a level whereby that I just have to make this decision. I have to just close my eye, irrespective of how it might look archaic in the decision making. That No way. If like, okay, it's just going to be 1 hour on Instagram a whole day.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather spend more time with my Bible, listening to messages and every other, until we're able to get to that level. But if you tell me that we're just going to be careless, we're just going to leave it and say, like, it's a tide, let me flow with it, all is going to be well. But it's still like, it's going to be like seeds. You just keep attracting different things. And I tell you, it will someday, it will germinate. There's this picture I saw about, like, it was more like somebody rearing a lion. And he said, okay, that lion is a very small, tiny lion. They were giving it feeder. Like more or less the same way you're feeding it. You keep feeding it and it keeps growing. It keeps growing. And it gets to a stage. That feeder, the so-called thing you're giving to it, it won't be able to take it anymore. It will now be you that is going to feed on. And that's the way this thing works. That's the way this thing works.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to that level that we are deliberate with what we consume. We are deliberate with what we... It might not be like an outright evil. It won't appear like... It won't appear as... No, it looks like... But you end up finding out, like, okay, like, I'm actually accumulating a whole lot of things. I'm accumulating a whole lot of things that ideally, I feel like I'm living a good life, but you end up like you're on Snapchat, you're scrolling through some pages, or the kind of video that you have on your timeline, you see people clubbing, and it becomes an everyday thing. You keep watching, even in that, you're what's it called? You'll be judging that your the pastor might see what she's wearing, you're more or less criticizing them and every other thing. But in all of this, you're actually sowing a seed too, you're sowing a seed. And the day it will come for you, like the day it will tell you that I've grown, I've matured. So that's spectrum major. So two major things that you will be faced unless you want to lie with ourselves: drinking, substance abuse, and which that one also is a very long one.
Very, very long.
And the best way is not to start. Let me be honest with you. The very best is never to start any of this thing. Then there is the sexual side also, like, and it comes with its own, like, okay, you might find yourself becoming a sex addict, you might find yourself sticking to be Jesus way, but here you are watching pornography, masturbating. Then there is the confusion of identity, like, oh, okay, I'm attracted to ladies, I feel I'm attracted to guys and every other thing. So majorly, these are the two challenges I feel everything would face at some point or the other in their life. You can be sure you'll be faced with this.
And even, thank you, Uncle Shay, even beyond teenagers, this is a struggle that even adults are struggling with. Where you think that you are actually a Christian, you go to church, you lead devotionals, many of those religious activities, but deep down, you know what you're struggling with, you know the challenges you are facing, and some way, somehow, in 2 Timothy 3, talking about the evil that would happen in the last days, and in verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And for the first time when I really saw that scripture, I really had to sit, properly think and meditate to say, do I want to be that Christian that I have that form of godliness, but the power of the knowledge in the Word of God, the power and the ability in the Word of God to change lives and transform lives is not evident in my own life. And I really had to pray to God to tell God that day, Lord, I don't want to just have a form of godliness, but I actually want to have that power transform my life. So I'm speaking directly to, you know, teenagers who would feel, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I serve in church. In fact, they know me in church, my parents are pastors, some of you are even PKs, and you feel that, when they see me and they think about me, they don't think about these kind of things, but you know who you are and you know the struggles you are facing. It could fall within the substance abuse and sexuality buckets that, you know, we have mentioned, as Uncle Sheyi has mentioned. Some of you might have other things. Some of you might have other things that you're struggling with. But this now should call you to really want to ask yourself and sit with God, sit with the Holy Spirit, to say, God, I know you. I think I have that form of godliness. I think I do this and I do that. But the power is not evident in my life. The transformation power of Jesus is not evident in my life. And you really want to sit with God to be able to trash it out one after the other. So that, you know, you're not carrying baggage and having to heal later in life from things that, you know, God is merciful. You will heal, right, if you go back to God. But, you know, the earlier the better. The earlier the better. And, you know, also when he talked about seeds are very powerful. What you might think, oh, it's not deep, like we like to say it. It's not that deep. Oh, it is just this. Ah, but this person is doing it. Oh, come off it. You're being extra about it, right? Those things are seeds. And if you do not actively take them out or build walls, boundaries towards these things, you would find that they would grow, germinate to become what you almost cannot control. And that is why it is important that you guard your heart. Bible says you should guard your heart, because out of it springs the issues of life. Guarding your heart is a non-negotiable thing for any teenager, anyone. If you know that you really want to please God, you really want to live a life free of certain troubles that you could have avoided, it's important that you guard your heart. Thank you so much, Uncle Sheyi, so far for what you have shared. So now, just, you know, to wrap it up, tell us and share with us how you got out of the pornography issue.
It's actually a whole lot. It was a whole lot. Because, like, it grew. Like, if you remember what I said initially, I said it started with pictures. From pictures went to, like, oh, okay. And the same way too, the internet was growing up. This was getting, like, okay, video and the rest and every other thing. I feel one major thing that even allowed it to actually linger for a whole long was lack of accountability. I wasn't really accountable to anybody. You know, because I could not really speak with anybody. I couldn't, people would rather speak to me. you get that kind of, people would rather speak to me. So people would rather speak to me than me speak to anybody. So that really affected it. That prolonged the issue and every other thing. And like, yes it did. Because I wasn't really accountable to anybody. I didn't really feel like, I felt I was at a level. That, so, like, it's somehow. So later on, the first thing was, what? I had to seek accountability. I had to seek somebody I had to be honest to and tell that, okay, to be honest, this is the stage I am. Okay. And, like, and for example, pornography actually tries on, like, maybe three major things. On secrecy, on accessibility, like easy accessibility.
Yeah.
Like, and what's the third one? I said, okay, one is affordable, is accessible, then secrecy. Yeah, that should be the three things.
Yeah.
So, one, I had to be accountable to somebody. I had to talk to people. I had to talk to my friends, be it male and female. I had to, like, dude, like, I'm having this issue. I'm struggling with this thing at this point in my life. I need your help in whatsoever way. If there are days, like, if I tell you, like, oh, okay, and with the background story I gave, that I became convenient with the aspect of, I can stay in this house for, like, a week. As long as there is food. As long as there is food. And if you want to do me well, I can watch football.
If you want to do me well, yes.
I don't even watch movies, so that's a whole lot. I can watch football. It simply means I can stay in this old house for a whole year. I won't step outside. I will even take my baits, even if possible. They shall have food. I will eat. There is ball. Arsenal is playing. I will watch. You can just be sure I will be fine. So that more or less, like, okay, I will stay indoors all day, like nobody would even know I'm around. And in that period also, a whole lot of things will happen. Because initially, this whole thing started as, okay, it started as pleasure. But it moves from pleasure to something to cover pain, to cover off pain.
Mm.
So when I feel bad, you talk at me, for example, I had a bad day at the job, I had a bad day at the office, more or less go back to pornography. Like, it became as bad as Arsenal loses a match. I, like, I feel bad emotionally. I had to cover up by watching porn. I have issues with finances. I feel like, oh, shit. A whole lot of things. So, it grew from pleasure to something to cover up pain also. Not because of anything. There's a science attached to that also. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, there is a chemical in our brain. I'm not a science student, so I might not get it right.
I scatter it.
So, but like, okay, there's this feel good, hormone or something. Yeah. Dopamine. Like, and maybe to start that and every other thing. So, that on the way. So the first thing was being accountable to somebody. And like, I feel I had to be accountable to a whole lot of people. People that could ask me on a Saturday or the weekend, that, dude, okay, where are you? You're not going out. You're not going out. Yes, I'm not going out. Okay, what is your plan for the day? So, one, this kind of scene, for example, actually tries on idleness.
Mm.
The fact that you don't have a clear-cut plan of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, every other thing can come in. There's no schedule. I don't have a plan of, oh, these are my days going to look like. This is what I want to do. It simply means you're vulnerable. A whole lot of things can fly in. A whole lot of things can fly in. Nobody can call you up and say, dude, where are you? What are you doing at this time? I just had your club just lost. What is happening? Have you eaten? What are you doing? Like, your coping mechanism at this point. What are you doing to cope with those things? So, that was the first thing. I needed to seek accountability. Obviously, I couldn't speak to you. How I wish I could speak for my mom, because indeed, to be honest, I love that woman so much. But I knew, like, she would find it hard to relate. These are two generations apart.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really understand. Even at some point that I tried to express myself and say, oh, mommy, sexuality, I feel I'm feeling something. I said, dude, a lot of those things, as you are going, it will happen. But I couldn't give her the details. I only said, hey, mom, see, hey, I'm feeling this way. I just said, oh. But like, you're growing and every other thing. So the first thing is accountability. You need to look for people you're accountable to. And people that would not, they won't crucify you. People that would say, okay, I understand. Something like that. That would like, I understand you. And preferably maybe even people that have gone through those things.
Mm.
Like, and that they will be honest with you, that will be able to say, okay, yes, we can do it this differently. So one, that's accountability. Then two, accessibility. You have to like take away things. At some point in my life, I had to like delete my Twitter account. I've never been a social media person. I even WhatsApp to date. If you chat me up, like, I might not reply for years. I rarely post. I'm not a social media person as a whole. Like, I've never been. But over time, I had a particular strong interest in Twitter. And the devil would always add a way too now. He brought the whole thing also to Twitter also. At least this is like the only thing it does now. It doesn't have a Snapchat account. It doesn't have an Instagram account. So he brought it to Twitter. And he brought it in full force and every other thing. So it was very difficult for me to say no to Twitter. Because of anything. I'd always been a sport analyst. So my world record is like, the easiest way for me to get feed, like, football news and everything, was Twitter. Like, that was like the only thing. But other things also came in also, and I'm like, dude. So, letting go was very difficult. Was very difficult. But I needed to make up my mind and said, okay, no, at this point I was going to delete my Twitter account, like a 14 years account. Like, I had to delete Twitter and said, no. I had a struggle, so I had to open new accounts. I opened new accounts afterward. But at some stage, I just had to make up my mind, like, okay, if this, that point of when the Bible was saying that if it's your eyes that is making you sin, literally, it became real to me that, okay, if it's Twitter that is disturbing your life, take it away and every other thing. And I did, I had to. Then, personally, knowledge, they will say, is power. And there is nothing you're going through. This is another information. There's nothing you're going through that you're the first person.
Absolutely.
You're
yeah.
not.
Yes.
There are people in it. Mm-hmm. There are people who have overcome the whole thing and that with ease, they can let it off. So, mm-hmm. through information also, I was able to find out that, oh, okay, there are things that could actually be done. They're actually blockers. They are blockers on Play Store and every other. Out of curiosity, I was wondering, how come Google Chrome, for example, there's nothing to like block things and that will block it well on Google Chrome. Then I understood that, for crying out loud, this thing is business for these people. They don't care. They want you to open anything you like. That's even how they make their own money. But later on I found out they're actually blockers. They're blockers on Play Store. There was also a struggle with that also, because I found out I had to pay for blockers. And I feel like,
wow.
How will I pay for blockers? Because I don't want to spend time. I will not have to pay. But another reality came in that when you were watching pornography, do you think it was free? Mm. You were paying too. You were even enriching some people. And you were enriching the kingdom of darkness also. Mm. So for this, if you would have to pay that money. So I had to make up my mind that deliberately on all my phones, I had blockers. Like, I had to block a whole lot of things. No social media, there's a limit to the number of time I can spend online. There is a limit to, like, let's block everything blockable. And then I got to a point whereby I told God, okay, God, let it be this way, that it can be said that even if in the long run or anything still happens, so let it be said that this guy, he did his best. He did his very, very, very best. Like, his very, very best. Like, his very, very best. Let me come to that level that I did my best. And like, also understanding the fact that also, the more of God, as I build, like, I put on Jesus Christ, I make no provision for the flesh. I put on Jesus Christ, I make no provision for the flesh. Like, if I sow to the flesh, I will live from the flesh. If I sow to the Spirit, I will also sow from the Spirit. So those became like those things, like, I had to put in check. Like, accountable, I have people I'm accountable. I have friends that will call me, that can still call me now. And like, some they might not want to say it outrightly and say, dude, how far? But they will have a way of saying it and say, okay, Mr. Tidola, how far? I had your club lost today. Hope we are good. I understand what you are saying by saying, hope we are good. We are good, sir. No issues. That slides right away. I have blockers on my phone also. That, okay, yeah, but in all of this, it's a gradual process. Yeah. It's a gradual process. So the fact that, okay, a very good example, we tell people, like, I tried quitting, I tried to stop. Sir, you didn't start it in one day. I just said my story about the whole thing.
Started.
So I don't expect the whole cure also to come in one day. Is built like it's preset upon preset, line upon line, and things will get better. It's not going to be a sudden change. We trust God for that also, but it's a gradual process. But there's also a level of honesty with God also, that, okay, there's no self-righteousness here. This is me and God. God, you know, this is my struggle. I don't have to forget what people are calling me. Forget what pastor are. No, this is not a pastor matter. This is me and you. Mm-hmm. You know in my bedroom. You know those vulnerable moments. You know, this is me and you. There is a confession between you and God that has to, like, be real, and that has to be honest. A genuine repentance that at this point, this is me and God. Beyond me doing every other thing, no, beyond this activity, this is me and you. I will trust God for help. And have things gotten better over time? Honestly, it has. So basically,
it's really good. Thank you so much, Uncle Shay. Accountability and, you know, that true repentance. And, you know, I always hear that, you know, when you really truly want to work with God, it will take away some things from you.
Yes, some things
that you, it would cost you a lot, but it's for the best. It will take a lot from you. And for you, in your case, this is what you have had to let go.
Social media as a whole.
You have had to let go of it. I didn't even know you were not on Instagram.
No.
I mean, something that you've had to let go. And so, you know, if you, speaking to teenagers now, right, you know, the idea of, I want to know God, you know, when people talk about God, about this person who does mysterious things and wonderful things, but I've not had to experience him, I want to hear from God and things like that. But, you know, they have certain struggles that are sort of standing in the way of their relationship with God. What would you tell such a teenager who's saying, oh, I know I'm, I mean, they might not even be able to, you know, come out to say, oh, this is this and this is what I'm struggling with. But they know what they are struggling with and they are holding on to it and not able to let go, to consecrate themselves to God in that sense. What would you tell that teenager?
One, don't live in self-denial. Understand one first, God loves you. He loves you, with or without. Understand that very first. Take that to be very first. That, okay, God loves me. Like, God loves me. Irrespective of what I'm doing wrong, irrespective of what I'm doing right, God loves me. Then the second one is, please don't live in self-denial. Like, be truthful to God on this matter. And the next stage is that, yeah, it would, I promise you, it will come with some instructions.
Mm.
Paying the price of that instruction is where the issue is also. I tell you, even when at the point of having to delete my social media account, I came up with an idea, okay, I can have it on somebody else's phone.
Really?
I came up with the idea, okay, let me still have my account so I can borrow your phone and say,
let me,
at least, is that an alternative? Like, at least, let's come up. That's still you, still, you, it's not total obedience.
Mm.
You're still trying to say, God, at least I don't have it again on my phone. But you still have it on someone else's phone.
Mm.
So we have to be able to pay that price of consecration completely. Mm. And the truth about it is that this instruction varies per person. What is mine? That's why I say this whole thing I said like this that worked for me might not be something that will work for someone else who can and single. The fact that God is saying, hey, dude, stay away from social media. There are some people that what they've been called for now is social media evangelism.
Yeah.
There are a whole lot of things going wrong on social media that God is planting you to correct that. That's your own mission. That's your own. You won't ask it because one brother said, this is my own personal experience. Get to that level whereby you have your own personal download with God. That, okay, this is what God is telling me. And you must be able to follow that instruction to details. But one thing I have learned personally, like I said, which is my own point. I'm trying to remember my, okay, let me, I should be able to say it. When God said, okay, like, he said, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to live a holy and a righteous life in this present age.
Mm.
That's the way the Bible puts it, in this present age. So the fact is that God even understands that there is a peculiarity. Like, there is something special. For this time, so there is no excuse. There is no excuse. Don't give God excuse that, God, you are not in this my generation. You don't know what Shane Lord now. His own blessed season that we are like this. There are different things that is us now. We have TikTok, we have everything, we have a whole lot. But in the,
I have to be like, a part of it.
The truth about it, in the long run, we just have to ask ourselves this whole thing. Do I spend the same time I spend on social media? Can I genuinely spend that same time in the place of prayer? I'm not saying you should not do social media. I'm not. But do you spend an equal time also in the place of prayer? Do you spend that equal time also in the place of Bible study? If you don't, it's more or less, I am sowing to the flesh. And if you sow to the flesh, sama, in the long run. All this thing, it might not be today, sir. It will come. That's the way it will come. And when it comes, and you don't have anything in the day of trouble, you don't have strength to fight back. There's nothing. you're faced with something, there is no scripture, there is nothing to say, oh, okay, hey, search me, O Lord, know my heart, try me, O Lord, know my thoughts, see if there is any evil in me, lead me to the way of everlasting. I put on Jesus Christ. I made no provision for the flesh. These are Bible verses for me. That over time, that even if I find myself in a compromising situation, I can blow out these three verses and say, oh, okay, God, search me, O Lord, know my heart. Try me, O Lord, know my thoughts. See if there is an evil in me. Lead me to the way of everlasting. I put on Jesus Christ. I make no provision for the flesh to gratify desires. These are like things I've built over time, like as my own defense for period. Yeah. So if as a teen, you don't have anything you can run to because like more or less you're bankrupt. Like there's jam, like there's nothing. There's nothing to say like I can run to this at this point. I can see. The truth about it is we can't stop things from flying, you know.
Yeah.
You can't stop birds from flying, but you can actually stop it from actually pulling on your head, from perching on you. So the same way also, we don't have a genuine control about things that fly on social media. You don't have control. No, but the truth about it is, what is your defense?
Yeah.
What is your defense? What is your defense? We would see things. Things will fly around. You will see things on social media. Can you cover your face and say, oh no, you can't. See, if it's tongues you want to speak, speak in tongues. If it's Bible scripture that comes to your head. But it simply means you have those things already. You have those things in you as self-defense for you to be able to pull out. But if in the days of trouble you can't pull out anything, ladies and gentlemen, it's easier to fall. It's easier to fall.
Thank you so much, Uncle Shay. You, my beloved teenagers, my beloved teenagers. This went way deeper than I thought it would be. This conversation, I believe, is for some peculiar people out there. Maybe not even teenagers. Maybe some adults, right? The need for that accountability system. Don't live in self-denial. What is your defense? You know, when you are down, when you're at your most vulnerable point, what is your defense? And you wouldn't build your defense on the day when you're weak. It is in your strongest days that you will build that defense. So if you're not spending your strong, happy, energetic days building that defense, you would find yourself falling flat. You'll find yourself falling flat when anything happens. And this would just be my cue to anybody who is listening right now. This would be my cue to anybody who is listening right now that I hope this will cause you to sit and really reflect on your life, on your walk with God, on building your defense around things that are happening in your time and age. Trust me, Jesus knows about your struggles and His grace is sufficient for you. And if for any reason perhaps you're struggling, maybe with masturbation or pornography, I know of a group, it's called CAMP. It's called Campaign Against Masturbation and Pornography. What they do is they handhold people who are struggling with masturbation and pornography and, you know, to come out of it. You can please reach out. I can link you up with a group. And if you need a personal accountability system, we can also make that available for you as well. Thank you so much for taking that time to listen. Any final words, Uncle Shay?
Just love God. Love God.
Know God.
There's no limit. There are things He will tell you not to do. There are things He will tell you to do. Trust Him.
Love God and know God. Thank you so much for waiting up until now. This is the longest podcast I've ever recorded. And I think it is super, super worth the while. Thank you so much for listening. If you have, you know, feedback, you have questions, please feel free to reach out. We'd love, love, love to hear from you. I will definitely get back to you. Enjoy the rest of your day and see you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope it resonates with you as a teenager. We would like to hear your thoughts, your observations, and your experiences about today's topic. Reach out to us on our social media platforms at Diary of Teens Pod.